Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
That was a catastrophe.
I know.
That's a new low. Yeah. Roz is better.
El Hombre.
The natural meets Rudy meets... I don't even know how to describe it.
El Hombre.
A day early, everybody. A perfect way to start your week, I would think. When you bring in this man for a conversation on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, he is the one, the only, El Hombre. Michael Bradley is here with us. How are you, man?
What a disaster that 2021 draft was. I mean, and for quarterbacks, think about it. Trevor Lawrence, the jury seems to be out on him. Wilson is now on the Broncos. Trey Lance, I don't know if you can find him if you wanted to. They just dished Justin Fields. Mac Jones is a non-person. This is a complete catastrophe.
He's a non-person.
He's nothing.
Well, yeah, and you nailed it. That's been the topic today, that four of the first five quarterbacks taken in that draft have all been traded. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. And then there were, I retweeted Dave Lombardi, who said the 49ers got the biggest return because for Trey Lance, they got a fourth-round pick and $6.3 million in salary relief, considering they gave up three number ones to get him. That's the biggest return. Zach Wilson, as we talked about, sixth and seventh round pick. Justin Fields, sixth round pick. Mac Jones, sixth round pick. So
yeah, that's like Gordon Gekko when he buys that airline and what's his name?
Blue Star.
Around with him and he has to sell it on the dive down. You know, you spend three first round picks, and think about that. Three first round picks. What team is Lance on now? The Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
He's on the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Yeah.
Cowboys.
Oh, brother. Well, at least with Dak around, he might get a chance to play. But again, we've talked about this many, many, many times about the unscientific method of drafting quarterbacks. And ESPN tried to solve it on Sunday. They did one of their special reports on it. And they talked about the same tropes about, you know, how hard it is to move from college to the pros. And, you know, you don't know what are you looking for in system and everything. I still go back to the fact that the position is so important that the people are blind and they overvalue the people trying for it. It should be the complete opposite. You should be looking at that position with the most scrutiny and the closest eye that you can of any position. Because a mistake there is generally, you know, a substantial one, as three first-rounders from the Niners showed. Now, I mean, they certainly have come out of it well with Brock Purdy, but that doesn't always happen.
Well, and it also seems like the worst ones are the ones that, you know, it takes them a year or two, and they think they have the right guy, and then 4 years later, you're like, we don't have the right guy. And, you know, the other thing, Michael, I was going to mention, that 2021 draft, so that was after the pandemic year. If you look at the first round, there's not a lot of recognizable names. I mean, there's not a lot of guys.
Christian Darrisaw is not a guy that you're familiar with right now.
Yeah.
You know, Greg Newsom II.
Exactly.
You know, Gregory Rousseau, I think he's a philosopher, isn't he? Didn't he have something to do with the Age of Enlightenment? Seriously.
Well, and also one of them, Zaven Collins, which he's a linebacker, and I only know that because they play in the division for the Cardinals. And the guy that calls the games down there, he's actually the color guy. He was pissed that they took him because he had never been in a fight before. How do you go through life as a linebacker and not have never gotten in a fight? So yeah, if you go through and look at every one of these players from this 2021 draft, it's pretty bad.
Heck, even I got in a fight in college.
Yeah.
In college?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Sophomore year, I got in a fight with a guy named UConn Jack. There was some Dr. Peppers involved for sure.
UConn Jack.
It's a great story,
booze took him down.
We end up in the hallway. Both landed a punch. He got me on the left side of the head, and I got one in on him before it was broken up by a guy who later became the U.S. ambassador to Bangladesh and Botswana, and he's currently in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, representing the United States of America.
Wow. Usually college, you've outgrown the fighting, haven't you, or is it after college?
Usually, I don't know. I just this guy got under my skin, and it was a pretty fair fight. We were both bantam weights, and it was not exactly a heavyweight slugfest. And it got broken up quickly, and we both could claim that we got a shot in, so nobody's reputation took a hit.
There you go. That's right.
UConn Jack. Hey, so what's the conversation out there? We're in full draft mode. Obviously, we're talking about the Mariners, but it's all about speculation. I love the mock drafts. Other people get annoyed, say these guys don't know anything. To me, it's fun. It's just I enjoy the outside perspective of what people think this team is going to do and what they should do. Is that something you follow there, and as it pertains to the Eagles?
I read every one. If an eighth grader does one and posts it, I'm going to read it. I'm telling you.
I'm with you.
I love it. I read them in February, okay?
Yeah.
You know, okay, who are the Eagles? Or I read them in, like, January before they even figured out the draft order. Who are the Eagles going to take? So here there's all sorts of speculation. They need a defensive back, right? They need both a safety and a cornerback because James Bradbury was so god-awful last year.
Yeah.
You can't count on him this year. They need offensive linemen because Sua Apeta cannot be your starting right guard. And you also are going to need a right tackle to take over for Lane Johnson when he retires in a year or so. Their linebacking situation is not exactly sterling right now. And they need a third wide receiver. So the best thing about the Eagles is, from a fan standpoint with the draft, is Howie Roseman, the general manager, is going to make 17 trades. Okay, he's going to take 2/5 and a second from 2027 and turn it into a third and a sixth this year. Then he's going to take them, and he's going to turn them into a player and a cook and all sorts of stuff. So he's the wheeler dealer. So he's always got something going on draft day. So it's never just straight down the line for the Eagles.
You know, we really appreciate James Bradbury here in Seattle, as he was victimized.
He did a lot for you. Yeah.
He really did on that last drive.
Sending him those gift baskets, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
Edible arrangements or whatever the hell they're called. get him something.
You know what? I have a lot of admiration for Howie Roseman. I think he does a really good job, and it just seems like he's, you know, they're always, I don't know, not always, but I feel like they are sometimes at the middle to bottom of the order just because they're in the playoffs. And I feel like he's one of the more respectable guys and does a good job. Is that, I suppose, as a Philly fan?
I mean, look, he got us to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's really hard to look at him and say bad things about him. Plus, they made it to they won a Super Bowl with him in charge. They made it to the Super Bowl again. They were in the playoffs the year after. I mean, sure, they fell apart at the end of this past year. But you're right. They're always in contention. They're not a team that falls apart that much. So I they're happy with him. He's not the greatest drafter. That's the one knock on him. He's really good with free agents and managing the cap. But he's not the best drafter.
Hey, one thing we were talking about earlier with our guy John Morosi in baseball coming into today's action, Shohei Ohtani was leading all of baseball in average, hitting .368, leading all of baseball in hits with 35 hits. He's got 5 home runs, driven in 13. He just broke the record for a Japanese-born player hitting home runs, surpassing Hideki Matsui and doing it in almost 2,500 fewer at-bats. This is a guy, considering, A, he just signed the most absurd contract anybody's ever seen. He's in the second biggest media market in the world, in L.A. Usually guys kind of fold for a little bit under that kind of spotlight. Then you throw in all the controversy with his interpreter and the lack of impact that any of that seems to have on him is pretty darn amazing. What do you make of what you've seen of him early?
Well, it's a good bet he's going to keep going.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he was in L.A. I mean, granted, it was the Angels, and granted, they certainly don't get the crowds or the attention.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yet. Okay. he's just a great ball player. I mean, first of all, that swing of his will travel. Right? You could drop him in the middle of, you know, the Amazon rainforest, and he's going to get you 2 hits because that swing is just so sweet. So, you know, we don't care if he pitches. He's hitting .360, okay? He seems to be a good guy also. He thrives on competition. You go back to the World Baseball Classic last year when he gave the speech before the game, the final game against the U.S., where, you know, he wanted to get out there and win and compete. So, I mean, it was just an awful lot going for him. And you're right, there's been a lot swirling around. Some more stuff has come out about that contract. His tax savings are going to be absurd. That's why it's done. Now, the U.S. government's going to try to go after him, but I'm sure he can find an attorney or two to represent him for the money that he has. But that's why they're doing that. But you know, this is just what the Dodgers need, is another unbelievable weapon on a team that has a ton of them.
Yeah. You know, and it occurs to me that that's the kind of thing that all of these GMs and scouts in the NFL are trying to find is the character. Because, you know, that would have probably crumbled most men. And, you know, having that hanging over your head, the whole thing with the translator and the gambling and all that, and he is hitting, I don't know, it's probably as good as he's ever been at this point in the year. And it's just, that's the kind of thing that you're looking for, right? I mean, the character part of it counts so much. And he is just passing with flying colors as far as this little bump in the road goes.
And it's interesting. I don't know why it's so hard with all the resources at the NFL's disposal to find the character guys, to find the guys who really want to win, to find the guys who aren't going to get paid a contract and then just say, that's it, I've got enough money, I'm done working hard. You know, it's pretty, I don't say it's easy, but I stand in a classroom in front of 100 students each semester, and I can pretty much tell you the ones that I would say, I want you on my team. Mm. So I don't know why it's so hard for the NFL to find those kinds of guys.
You know, another story we were talking about in the world of Major League Baseball is Anthony Rendon. He's a guy who in 2019, his final year with the Nationals, he hits 34 home runs, 126 driven in, .319 average, .412 on base. I mean, just a monster year. And then he signs with the Angels. His high watermark in games played since, 58. He played 52. That was
he's hurt again.
Yeah, he just went on the IL with a hamstring issue. He made it clear that baseball is not his passion; it's his job. And I believe his contract is $245 million guaranteed dollars. So, just you talk about every other team, and that was a guy. If the Mariners could bring him here, I would have given everything. And this looks like, you know, dodging a massive bullet. But when you see an epic fail like that with a contract of that size and a guy who literally is 58 games, he's missed over 100 games every season except for the pandemic year where they only played 60. I mean, it's remarkable to see that.
It is, and I'll tell you, it, as you said, epic fail and, you know, everything that goes into these contracts, what you can't ever tell. I mean, some guys are just injury prone, and you got to be careful not to ascribe any kind of behavior to that. It's not like he's saying, you know, ooh, I got a little hangnail. I got to go on the IL. Hamstrings are things that you cannot play through. You cannot run with a bad hamstring. Same thing with a calf. You know, and his injuries have been legitimate. So, you know, a lot of people are always saying, get out in the free agent market. Throw around a whole lot of money. Yeah, it doesn't always work. I mean, right now I'm watching the world champion Phillies play. It's the top of the seventh, 4-0 over the Reds, and their best pitcher right now is Ranger Suarez, who's on the mound right now throwing up goose eggs, and he's 3-0 with a 1.78 ERA going into this game. He wins tonight, it could be down to 1.50, and he's 4-0, and he's going to go to the All-Star game, and he's on a rookie contract. So you never can be sure if you spend a ton of money whether you're going to get the return that you want.
But then you get the guys like we talked about, Otani, and in your case out there, Bryce Harper. I mean, it's some guys kind of fold under that. I mean, even Trey Turner struggled a bit when he got to Philly, big contract, new scenery. It takes some guys, it takes a little bit for them to find it. So guys like Otani doing what he's doing, is that's what, again, makes him even more impressive to me.
Yeah, and look, again, you know, Harper, you could tell he was the kind of guy who was going to come in here and make a difference. Then you look at a guy like Nick Castellanos, who they paid $80 million for 4 years or something like that, who's right now, he's starting to come out of it, but he's been god-awful this year. And at the end of last season, he was horrific. The Diamondbacks made him look like he couldn't even play for the Bad News Bears. And so you say, well, it looked like it was a good signing, right? But then you say, well, he played on two teams before, both of which weren't very good. Some guys don't do well on teams that are expected to win. You know, when there's no pressure on you, you can come up and say, no problem. I got this. I'll hit the ball. If I miss it, nobody's going to care. There's no pressure. You come up with two men on in a tight game. If it matters, you're in a pennant race. You're not used to that. So as I said, you got to find the right guys who have that combination of the talent, but then the desire to play in the toughest, tightest spots.
Hey, Michael, it looks like one of the most unbreakable records in baseball is most frequently ejected. Bobby Cox, basically, he's been ejected an entire season. 162 for him. I love that. We saw Aaron Boone today, something that went on there. And really, you know, I've seen Lloyd McClendon, Lou Piniella, a couple of guys coming through here in Seattle. But who's your favorite?
Earl Weaver.
Yeah, Earl Weaver, 96. Tony La Russa, 93. Yeah, so.
Weaver got his money's worth. And by the way, did you see how Boone got ejected today?
Yeah, wasn't there a fan that was behind him or something?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He got on the umpire. The umpire turned around and said, "That's it. You say another word, and I'm done." And they kept the camera on Boone. He didn't say a word, but the fan sitting in the first row behind him started chirping at the ump. That's me, by the way. Yeah. And then Boone gets thrown because of the fan. And Boone's like, "I didn't say anything." He says, "I don't care. You're gone." Earl Weaver got his money's worth. There's some great audio out there of him going after umpires and the umpires going right back at him. And it's great stuff. So those days, you know, I miss those days because the umpires, everybody had a lot of character back then.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny.
Characters.
Yeah, they are characters. But you look at those guys are truly pissed. And, you know, nobody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess there's been maybe some bumping and things like that, but nobody's ever taken a swing or anything, have they? Have we ever seen that?
I don't think so. They know that would end there. I mean, if you swung at an umpire, you'd have to be thrown out for the year. I got to think that. And then, you know, yeah. they find somebody else to manage and you probably don't come back. So, yeah, there's been bumping. I like the umps that used to kick the dirt.
Yeah.
I remember reading something from umpires that hated managers that chewed tobacco. So they'd come out and there'd be an argument and they'd look like they had freckles afterwards.
Oh, God.
They'd look like Ron Howard. Because there's, you know, they're yelling at him, spitting, and here's the brown juice coming out all over them.
Oh, God. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, so that, I mean, I've never seen anybody take a swing. I like the guy who, you know, picks up second base and throws it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, kicks dirt all over the home plate, goes and covers up home plate.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a good old-fashioned rhubarb. The Phillies used to have a manager in the early 70s named Frank Lucchese when they stunk.
Yeah.
And Lucchese would come out. He wouldn't just yell. He would jump up and down. It was fun.
I was telling Dave about a video I saw a year, long time ago of Tommy Lasorda. And somehow they got it mic'd, and you could hear what he was saying to the ump, and he was screaming. You know, if you're just watching, you see the hand gestures, and he's just red in the face, and he's screaming, but he's like, "That was a damn good call. These guys are lifeless out there, and I got to do this to get them going, and you're doing your job." But if you're watching it, you're going, "Oh, my God, he's just lighting this guy up," and he's basically setting it up to just look like he's going ballistic to get his team fired up. But they had the audio, and it was priceless. And I'm wondering how often that happened back in the day of guys just saying, "I got to do something to get these guys going."
Well, I read about it in the NBA. The NBA coaches would get technical fouls to try to get their team fired up all the time. And you know, that's like, you know, Gene Hackman in Hoosiers when he tells the referee to throw him out.
That's
so
right.
Shooter can finish the game with the old picket fence. So, you know, spoiler alert. But anyway, the problem is now with the electronic stuff and all the video replay and everything, you can't really argue with the umpire anymore because it's not always their call. You know, they put the headphone on. Someone in New York says he's out. And all of a sudden, you know, a manager comes out to scream at the ump, and he's like, "It's not my call, man. Some dude in New York on the phone said it."
Yeah, yeah, that's the Gene Hackman line. Kick me out. Kick me out of here. I'm gonna act like a maniac.
What? Kick me out, or I'm gonna scream like a maniac.
Yeah.
Okay, you got it. You're out.
I'll tell you again. What? And he starts reacting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Lou Piniella. His penchants for kicking things, man, especially the hat. And and it's so funny. The other thing that I love about it, like Bob was saying earlier, the guys out on the field are covering their mouths with their mitt because they don't want to see the coach.
They're cracking
the coach
up
to see him laughing their ass off.
Yeah, the Lou one they just showed today, Michael, they were showing a montage on MLB Network of Billy Martin with his hat pulled to the side. And he's screaming, and Earl Weaver and La Russa. And then they showed Lou out there kicking his hat, and he looks like he's going to bust a vein in his neck, and everybody on the Mariners bench is cracking up, and the players in the field had the
Lou was a big guy too.
Yeah.
Lou, you know, Weaver's a little guy, but Lou's a big dude, so he goes out there and at the presence standing out there.
Well, and him, so, it, but no, going old school with the dirt. Stuff. The dirt over home plate is always hilarious. Just, that's classic.
The dirt on the umpire's shoes.
Yes.
That's always a good one.
Yes.
I
disrespectful.
Like
so disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Love it. Any predictions about the draft coming up in terms of quarterbacks you're looking at going, this is going to be, we just talked about 2021, four of the top five quarterbacks taken have all been traded. When you look at this group, we're seeing mock drafts that have six quarterbacks going in the first round. It seems set in stone that the first three will be quarterbacks. So who are you targeting is, man, I guarantee this is not going to be the franchise changer they think this guy's going to be.
I think Daniels, I hate to say it, I think he's not going to be the player that you think he's going to be. And May's going to be good, but not great. And you'll see two teams spending high draft picks on these guys. So I worry about them because, as we talked last time, the 83 draft where you got all those great quarterbacks. But, you know, that hasn't happened since. You get one or two good ones, maybe. Although, I mean, you remember the Donovan McNabb one, Tim Couch. No, but Culpepper was in there too. So you get two pretty good quarterbacks out of it that way. But you rarely get that anymore. They're just not good enough, and their games don't translate.
He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley, with us generally on Tuesdays, but we're being preempted a bit tomorrow with the Mariners game, so he was gracious enough to join us today. You can find him here generally every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, and you can find him on Twitter @DailyHombre. Michael, we appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next week.
So long, suckers.
So much emphasis on that. He never dulls it.
It had kind of a echo effect too.
Like that. He just leans into it. All right. Our thanks to Michael Bradley. If you missed any of that conversation, it will be available after the show at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab and click on our picture, and it's right there. Coming up, how do the Mariners stack up against this Rangers team they're set to start the series with tomorrow? We're going to get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Our thanks to El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joining us a day early. In case you're just tuning in, again, that conversation, like every other one, will be on the podcast page at seattlesports.com after the show. Just click on the podcast tab and click on our picture. It's right there waiting for you. Meanwhile, Mariners with the day off today. They start their three-game series with the Rangers in Texas tomorrow. So looking at this game, you start going, all right, how do they match up with the Rangers team, the team that won the World Series last year? They've scored more runs than anybody in the AL West at this point. I think they're the third highest scoring team in the American League, I believe. So they can still... they can still mash. They can still do their thing. And Jeff Passan was breaking down some things just looking at this series and talking about what it is he wants to see. He wants to see from the Mariners first in this first series between the two teams.
I think at this point, I look at series in the middle of the season not being indicative of a whole lot yet, right? Mm-hmm. To me, this is as much a psychological thing as it is, okay, like how is Logan Gilbert going to do against Dane Dunning, right? How's Bryce Miller going to do against John Gray? Like, we can look at the pitching matchups and all that, but to me, this is the world champions are playing against the Mariners. Let's see how they stack up. Mm-hmm. Let's see how the pitching navigates this lineup that has gotten even deeper than last season.
If he could relax a little bit more, that'd be better. He just sounds like he's on the verge of falling asleep. He's so relaxed. The way he speaks is just, we're going to take a look at how they match up. And
I tell you what, I love listening to him in the morning. He does a really good job, but, I'm just looking at you kind of forget that this is the World Series champions here. And
they can hit the ball.
You know who else I forgot about? Adolis Garcia.
You did not forget about him.
No, I really didn't. I just love watching that guy play. I think of all the teams that they have played over the last couple of years, he's the one guy that, like, if they said, pluck a guy off of roster, I'll take Adolis Garcia. Yeah. And, you know, we can have Mitch maybe DH, you know, play play somewhere else.
I'd probably lean toward Ohtani or Mookie Betts, but you can have Garcia if you want.
326 batting average right now, and, you know, 6 home runs, 22 RBIs, 28 hits total. I mean, he is, and if you look at the, you know, the numbers as far as offensively, you know, the Texas is, you know, number 7 in batting average and, you know, pretty much top 10 in everything offensively. So, you know, pitching, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, I feel like that's the big matchup, our pitchers versus their bats. And it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to contain them, because especially a guy like Garcia, who's just mashes the ball.
Yeah, looking at them, they're 12-11 on the season. They're a half game ahead of the Mariners. They've scored 114 runs so far this season, which is the most in the AL West. Next closest team would be the Astros, who are in dead last, 96. But the Astros have given up 124. Astros are 7-16.
Amazing.
They've dropped 7 of 10. That's unreal. Let's see. I keep thinking, all right, they're going to turn into the Astros at some point, but they're dealing with a ton of injuries with their rotation. So hopefully they'll remain in the cellar. But yeah, in the American League, there are only, I think, 2 teams that have scored more runs than the Rangers at this point. That would be the Orioles and the Cleveland Guardians, and then it's the Rangers. So this team can hit, and you know, the old adage, you know, great pitching beats great hitting. We'll see, because the Mariners are pitching great right now. They are pitching phenomenally well, as it started with the beginning of that series against the Reds, and then going into even the game they lost, they got great pitching. So they've got that part clicking now. It feels like the rotation is just sizzling at the right time. It's can the offense give them enough support and take advantage of maybe some shortcomings with the Rangers, and we'll see how their rotation holds up. But I like the way the Mariners are going into this series, because you got Castillo coming in off his best start of the season, looking like the ace that he's supposed to be. It's his best start by far. Bryce Miller has been outstanding. Logan Gilbert coming out. Everybody's looked good. Even, again, Kirby, who had a sore arm and only went 5 innings, but he shut him out. And he did have 1 walk, but he was able to shut him out and come up with a lot of swing and miss and made it happen, even on a day where he wasn't physically 100%. So they're rolling right now, and I want to see what gives, the pitching or the offense. The strength of each team. It's strength versus strength there, and I love it.
Yeah, well, we need Kyle Seager back. He used to hit in that park really well. Hey, by the way, you were talking about Houston. They've been swept 3 times.
That's too bad.
Isn't that terrible? And what, I think 2 of them, no, there was only the 1 4-game series where they got swept by the Yankees, and that's how they opened the season. But then they got swept at Kansas City, and then the other one was home against Atlanta. So it'd be so nice if they just continued tailing off and we don't have to worry about them.
Oh, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take on Texas, no problem, but just get the Astros out of there.
One more from Jeff Passan, talking about his level of surprise at how good the middle of the Mariners' bullpen has been.
That's the wild part. Like, Taylor Saucedo's been phenomenal. Miller's been really good.
Like,
they just, year after year, it's like, where did this guy come from? And what sort of pixie dust are they sprinkling him with? But how are they going to handle those late innings against, you know, Simeon and Seager, and Nate Lowe is now back, and Carter and Wyatt Langford and Jim Heim? Like, we can go on and on about the number. I didn't even mention Adolis Garcia. Like, this lineup, top to bottom, is nasty.
Yeah, this is, you know, you look at what they've got going offensively, and it doesn't look good, because you mentioned Simeon there, and Adolis Garcia, as good as he is, Simeon's right behind him.
Yeah, yeah, that one's paying off for him, that investment. Paid off for him last year when they won the World Series, and you had 2 of the 3 pickups that they've had in recent years in the race for the MVP title. So, yeah, they've got a lot of offense, and he, you know, there he's focusing on what you and I have talked a lot about, and is that That's their ability to develop these arms. Is he talked about, like, well, where did this guy come from? You know, where did this guy come from? Spire or Saucedo or whoever. You know, these aren't household names they're bringing in here. And oftentimes they bring in guys that we've talked about have struggled elsewhere. And no better example than Paul Sewald, who, you know, kind of flamed out with the Mets. It looked like he even talked about thinking, can I still do it at this level? He turns into your closer, the guy you trust in the most crucial part of your game. And he became a valuable trade piece that other teams wanted. So they've done it again so far this year with guys that aren't household names. You're trying your best to hold it together without Brash there, without, you know, and Santos, I don't even really know what to expect from him.
Yeah.
He was your new acquisition. You can, you know, talk to people who talk about his arm talent, Dave, and that he's got tremendous talent. He's got fantastic stuff, all of that. But he was dealing with a little bit of an injury that last year. Well, you haven't even seen him this year, so I don't know what to expect from him. But he was expected to be a high leverage guy with great stuff, along with Brash, along with Munoz. And you're absent those two guys, and you're still putting up zeros out there for the most part. Yeah, they've had a couple of hiccups here and there, but considering what they're covering for, they've done a fantastic job once again with the bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Taylor Saucedo, I mean, that was a guy that was just one of the guys, and it's amazing. And like you said, I mean, you know, you've got Thornton, the other guy that was the guy we were talking to Divish about, that's a psycho, apparently. And
which means you like him now.
Love that about him. But, you know, the other thing I was going to say is, you know, we're talking about Cal Raleigh, what, a week ago, maybe 8 days ago, and how he's at 196 and he's at 258 now. He did a lot of repair in that series against the Reds and in Colorado. The next guy, though, that's still on the list, well, there's two of them. You know, you look at JP and Polanco. You know, if those
Polanco
guys can
get hot. JP looks like he's starting to find him. He did have the 426-foot triple.
Yeah.
So he squared that up. He's hit the ball hard a few times, so maybe he's starting to come out of it. But, yeah, you need Polanco to find it certainly as well, because they've got him in that number three spot. Coming up, we learned some important history lessons apparently today. We're going to find out what those were with what we learned. Coming up next, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
This is a house of learned doctors.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What did we learn today?
No one's a bigger idiot than me.
It's the easiest way out.
And today we learned some important history lessons, apparently. What were those, Lefko?
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I kind of just assumed you two just showed up one day and started working together. But you just showed up and all of a sudden you're working together and that's how you knew each other. But it turns out you guys used to play on a softball team together. And then we learned why you probably don't play on a softball team together anymore.
Line drives, you see a lot of guys have to, they kind of stop in their tracks for a moment and then readjust. I mean, you could see that even if you're playing. You know, I've seen that in City League hardball when I was playing out there. The ball hit directly at you, and you just kind of freeze for a moment, like trying to pick up how rapidly it's approaching, and before you know it, it's over your head. Never happened to me, of course, but you know, hey, it happens to others. Kidding.
I remember we played softball on a team. Remember we used to?
Yeah.
And I remember one was hit at me like that, and I like started running in, and you were screaming, "Get back!" And I had to turn around and go chase it. Yeah, that happened.
Those were fun days when we had they used to call it the Rat League, radio and television.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we'd play like King 5 and Cairo and all those guys. And
right. For
some reason, Starbucks was in the league. I'm not sure how that worked. But we won that league like five times. We were crushing that.
Well, league. I mean, of all the media people, we've got pretty much everybody's sports, I guess. Yeah. So that makes sense, right? I mean, if you're a sports station, you should win.
We should win.
The sporting events.
We did most of the time.
Yes.
It's a bar. I think that got wiped out just before the pandemic because people kept quitting the other teams, so there weren't enough people to field enough teams.
I'll tell you what, one of the more fun summers I had was when I joined an over 40. I would just turn like 41, and one of my buddies, it was one of my wife's high school friends, her husband, and I got to know him, and so then we got on this team, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
Really had fun.
Used to look forward to those games. It was always fun. Always fun out there. I'm going to look into that over 40 league in a couple years. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be nice for you. Get involved.
What else did we learn, Mike?
Well, we're going to hear from Ryan Roland Smith coming up in a little bit as well. But we also learned before he came on that there's a little used version of an Australian accent.
My only complaint right now is Ryan Roland Smith. I mean, I don't know if we're even going to have him on here at 3 o'clock. We're going to take a secret vote here.
Should we vote?
Yeah.
Whether we let him in? I mean, just really unsolicited.
You know what else? Yeah, it was unsolicited. Not only that, I probably watched 3 different shows over the weekend with Ryan Roland Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching his top step. You know,
is that your Australian accent?
Bulb? Was that like German or something? Was that a German
you
accent?
You gotta isolate that one, man.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't Australian.
That was really bad.
Can we really narrow bad. Down what it might have been? Was that like an English?
It sounded vaguely British to me. Like vaguely.
Yeah, I can do British. I can do that.
I doubt that.
Hello, my love.
When are you going to do your British accent?
Everything comes back to a Seinfeld episode, but what was the one where it was like Kramer and Jerry going back and forth like, not bloody likely. Like then the Jerry's going, that was horrible. And they were going back and forth going, that's the worst Cockney accent I've ever heard. And
anyway. I'll let Bob do the accents. Bob's a better than average imitator. Definitely.
Sometimes.
Mostly. You know how to stay in your lane, though. See,
that's right.
That's the difference between you and me.
I love that top step bump.
Hey, no time like the present to learn a new one.
It sounded like Bob making fun of him. It didn't sound like Ryan Roland Smith. Sort of a recreation of what Bob did.
What else did we learn?
Well, we learned that the ending to our Lofa interview really did not go the way that we thought it would.
Lofa, before we let you go, do you want to shout out your guys? You had a group of guys that were listening last time you wanted to shout out?
Oh, no. They don't get a shout out this time. That was a one-time thing.
Okay.
You must be really good friends with these guys.
Yeah. No, I will when we get close. I'm going to be on again. That way you have to bring me back. So you always... leave them wanting more, right?
Yes.
I love it. You're gonna get a text as soon as you get off this call here.
I'm gonna get 8 texts. I guarantee it.
No love for his guys.
I got a text here from Lofa.
Oh, you did?
He said he's getting lots of texts about the Picturegate thing.
Oh.
And he put a smiley face, and then he says, tell the listeners, not my picture, not my problem. That's what I say.
There's got to be pictures of him there, right? I've never looked.
Sure there
at,
are.
At who's represented and who's not, but yeah. I want to see that part of the building when we go there Thursday.
Yeah.
And maybe you can sneak me past security.
Yeah, let's without you getting shot.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll go in there and look. I think it's better. That's why I purposely went in there. Because I'm like, okay, I've heard about it. And I think that's where people on the other side of the country, they don't really get the full view of it. But, and if you walk through, I mean, I think you're kind of,
I'm in the middle, riding the fence. I'm riding the fence. Splinters are right in my backside from sitting on that fence.
In your tailpipe, I think you said.
Yeah.
Exactly. Honors in his tailpipe.
On Thursday, are you going to try to sneak a picture of yourself onto the wall?
That's a good idea, Matt.
I think you should stop at Michael's, pick yourself up a frame.
We could take some pictures. We should take the pictures out of our little room there we broadcast from. Start putting them up all over the wall.
Those were like these huge murals or whatever. I should get like a little tiny picture of myself.
And that's it.
Boy, those 8x10s.
Yeah.
Those headshots. We could put that.
Get a little pen to just plug it in there.
That'd be so funny. That'd be good. Just random black and white 8x10s of Dave and Stanford and then his first year with the Seahawks.
Let's do that.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. What else do we learn?
We learned that today was not the day to try to explain TikTok to Dave.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How was the week? Did anything get you pushed in the wrong direction?
Shockingly enough, yes.
Was it you?
It actually wasn't me this time.
Okay.
My sister sent me a TikTok, which first of all, don't send me a TikTok. I'm too old for TikTok. I don't care about TikTok. They're all annoying.
She younger or older?
Younger.
Okay.
By a year, but...
Can you explain to me what a TikTok is?
No.
Is it like a video that plays
it's
over?
It's going to take up the whole segment. Right. It's just it's an annoying video that kids are into these days.
It's okay. An app.
You it's the youths.
The youths. What they're doing. The youths. The youths right. Are into it.
What it is a social media platform that allows users to create, share, and discover short form videos. Okay.
Well put. See? Very succinct.
This is what happens when if we don't know something. And the listeners will, they'll go and Google it really quick and go, you idiot, it's this. And then
you
go and look on Google and sure enough, there it is.
Yeah. I think we thought of a better idea now based off Matt's idea. We're going to make a TikTok of you putting up your picture there on the VMAC wall. Your first TikTok.
Yeah. Now it doesn't sound like a good idea all of a sudden.
I just like the answer. Can you explain what a TikTok is? No.
I don't have the patience for that.
Pretty much knew that was the answer I was going to get there.
Is that everything?
That is it.
All right, that's it for us, everybody. Want to thank our guests today, Ryan Roland Smith, Lofa Tatupu, John Morosi, and of course, El Hombre. Michael Bradley, a stacked show today. So if you missed any of that, you really should check it out on the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that, and it's all waiting for you right there as it is each and every night after the show. Click subscribe. You know the drill. You never have to think about it again after that. It's just showing up automatically for you every day, a big, giant present. Have a great night, everybody. We're back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.